And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Thursday. And of course, Brian Marshall, side bottom the first, and the legend, Ken Cummins, across the way.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, what are you up to, little buddy?
About 6 foot.
I need to know how much to dig. Thank you.
Listen to you.
Listen to me, and here I am.
Yeah.
Well, what do you know today?
I know it's going to be a beautiful day.
That's true.
I like it. It's going to be 61.
That sounds nice.
It does.
It does. Mm-hmm. Well, it is already a gorgeous day, an opportunity to serve King Jesus, and we're glad to be here. But if you don't believe us, just ask us. Are we glad to be here?
I'm glad to be here.
Well, that's unanimous then. There's not anyone else in this room to vote on that.
No.
So we're glad that you agree and we agree, so we're all in one accord here. Well, one thing I want to get right at is because of the audio that you're going to hear just in a moment, let me just say to you to don't give up on it. It's very understandable, but it was recorded probably 70, 80 years ago. And
wow.
It has a few little hums and buzzes in it, but I'll tell you about it. And probably one of the most historical revivals that took place that's probably not as known as others is the Shantung Revival in China. And it was through a group of Southern Baptist missionaries. They tell the story. And basically, and it's called maybe the Shandong area of China now. But basically, this revival, it was so incredible what the Lord did through it. Well, let me just set it up this way. Dr. C.L. Culpepper reported several different things in the move of the Holy Spirit, and you'll get to hear, he was president, by the way, of the North China Baptist Theological Seminary. He wrote that the revival began in 1927 in Chifu, now Yangtai, with just an amazing series of meetings conducted by Marie Monson, a missionary with the Norwegian Lutheran Mission. Culpepper's testimony of a miraculous healing took place with his wife Ola also brought tremendous impetus to the revival. She was losing her eyesight, was under continual pain from a degenerative eye disease. Marie Monson had just given a testimony of healings that had taken place in other areas, and Dr. Culpepper asked her to anoint his wife and pray for her. After she prayed, Ola Culpepper laid down her glasses, and her eyes never bothered her again. That's just one of many stories. Mm. And as a matter of fact, this is this little booklet was handed to us here at Missionary Radio some years ago, and I read it, and when I became a Southern Baptist missionary myself, we read about that. And you read about different events down through history that you think, well, why can't this happen again?
It can.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to come back and talk about some of the myself and Brian and I will in a discussion. And this is more than one part. We'll only hear one part of it today. This is a recording that I took from a blog, from a podcast. And this is from Dr. C.L. Culpepper. Okay, let's hear it.
Culpepper, share with us now the story of the greatest revival that's ever come in the history of Christendom, the revival in the Shandong province of China.
Well, in the early 20s, I felt that we were up against an impossible situation. So many difficulties that I can't go into detail in telling. But we had some older missionaries that knew how to pray. And so many of our hearts were turned to God. Some missionaries of other boards decided to go home. There's no hope to do the work. But we decided we'd pray. And as we prayed, began to pray, the Lord seemed to lay on our hearts a deeper hunger for God Himself. And we prayed more. And we prayed for 4 years. And as a result of this praying, we got under deep conviction for sin. And the deeper we got under conviction of sin, and we had to make restitution and make things right with each other and take out all the sin of our hearts. And there's things in many of our hearts that we didn't know were there, that they're just covered up under the rubbish. And so we had to dig out all of the rubbish and pray and continue to pray. There were several people who helped us a great deal. Among those was Miss Marie Munson. She was a Norwegian Lutheran missionary. And one day she asked me, "Brother Culpepper, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit?" And I couldn't tell her because I didn't know what it really meant. But from that day, I began searching the Bible. A great hunger for the fullness of the Holy Spirit came upon me. And it took 4 years for me to get all the rubbish and get everything straight with the Lord. And the other missionaries had the same impression and same feeling. And so the Lord worked with all of us missionaries in the North China Mission at that time, about 50 of us. And so the Lord worked through Miss Munson and others of a very sensitive nature. And as a result, we became obsessed with the idea that we had to meet God. And sometimes we would pray for an hour or 2 hours, and sometimes a few times we prayed all night. And finally, Miss Munson invited her to come back and go through the mission, and she told me, said, "Brother Culpepper, a great revival is coming, and it's going to begin with the North China Mission." And I said, "Why do you say that, Miss Munson?" She says, "Because God has a covenant in His Word that has never been broken since the time He gave it to Solomon." And she repeated 2 Chronicles 7:14. She said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." And she said, "You people, above all the people I've seen, have done that. You've humbled yourselves, you confessed to each other, gotten right with each other, confessed and made restitution, and said you pray, seem like you pray, you never get through praying. And you seek God with all your heart. And the Bible says we will seek Him and find Him when we seek Him with our whole heart." And we became obsessed of the desire, the great hunger, like the psalmist did. He said in the 42nd Psalm, "As the heart panteth for the water brook, so panteth my soul for Thee. O God, when shall I come and see Thee?" And that was the cry of our hearts. And God gave us this hunger, and then the assurance that He is going to satisfy. And 4 years from the time we really started in seeking this with all our hearts, God came down in mighty power. He began in the province and one or two other provinces, and we at Huangshan, where the seminary was and where the schools were, we were fearful that the Lord would pass us up. And so about 40 of us gathered to pray for a week. And as we were praying that week, I came under the deep conviction of the sin of not being filled with the Holy Spirit. That was the last conviction. It was a spiritual conviction, and I felt like that God would almost kill me if I didn't get that real understanding of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I got so desperate that I prayed up until 12 o'clock, and then I couldn't get peace, and I went and called my wife, and she got up and prayed with me. And so I got relieved finally when I said, "Lord, I'll confess my neglect of before the people." People had bragged on me and said I was a fine missionary doing good work, and I'd accepted it, the flattery and all. And I said, "Lord, I'll tell the people tomorrow just how You showed me how sinful I am and how helpless and hopeless I am, that I'm not worth a thing in the world." And the next morning when I stood up and confessed that, the Lord did a wonderful thing. And the people began confessing sin, falling off the seats on their knees and crying to God. And that prayer meeting started on Tuesday morning at 5 o'clock. And it went on for 4 days and nights. And by the end of 4 days and nights, the people would come, and finally there were 200 people. And the house sometimes was filled with people, and everyone that came into the door of that chapel would fall to their knees. There's such deep conviction. And so by the Friday night at nearly midnight, every person in that house had been relieved and had been cleared as to their conviction and getting right with the Lord. And so someone said, well, let's have a praise meeting in the morning. We had to close the next, that Saturday morning. So we came together for a praise meeting. And they asked me to lead that praise meeting. And I decided I'd read Psalms 32. And I began the song and prayer, and then I began reading. I read the first two verses of Psalms 32. And when I read those two verses, it looked like that some song conductor just raised his hand for the congregation to stand. And those 200 people stood to their feet, and they began with one accord in unison and one voice praising God. And some of them were weeping, and some of them were laughing, and just praising God for about 10 or 15 minutes. And some of the preachers came up there, the Chinese preachers came up and grabbed me, and I thought they'd hug me to death. Said, Brother Culpepper, we've always felt like you missionaries thought you were better than we were. Now we know we're all just the same. You're no longer Americans, and we're no longer Chinese. We're just God's children. And we praised God there for 15 or 20 minutes, and then somebody said, let's sing a certain song. And we sang songs for 5 hours. Nobody left. Nobody wanted to go home. We just sang and praised God for 5 hours. And finally, it seemed the Lord just said, amen. And we all sat down. We got as quiet as you could hear each other breathing. And the Lord just seemed to say, well, that's it. Well, we didn't know just what he was beginning, what he's going to do. And after the service, there were two Chinese preachers were very close to me, and each one of them said, Brother Culpepper, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And I couldn't say for sure. And so the other one said, asked the same question. And I said, well, I don't know for sure, but I want to know. And they said, we do too. We want to know definitely the meaning of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so we decided that that night, Saturday night, that we would pray together, the three of us. They came to my home, and we went into my office. I had a large office, and one of them knelt in one corner of the room, and another in the other corner of the room, and I knelt by my desk, and we were with our backs to each other. And we began praying, and we must have prayed for an hour or more, silently, sometimes audibly, sometimes silence. And I realized I was fearful. I was afraid. I'd been afraid that of the excesses and extremes that I'd heard of, and I'd been warned about it. I'd read many books during those 4 years. And for instance, one book said, let go and let God. And another book said, whatever you do, don't let go, because the devil is liable to take you. And I was afraid that I might speak in tongues. I was afraid if I spoke in tongues, I'd be turned out of my denomination. And I was afraid of many things. And then suddenly, the Lord just showed me Luke 11:9-13. And you remember that says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and every one that seeketh, findeth, and every one that knocketh, it is open unto him. If you who are parents, if your son shall ask a bread, will his father give him a stone? Or if you ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if you ask an egg for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And I realized it seemed like just a flashlight from heaven. Through those verses, I didn't read them, I just repeated them. But just like a flashlight from heaven through those verses before me, and I realized that I was kneeling in the presence of my Heavenly Father, and that he wouldn't let anything touch me. I'd confessed my sin, I'd gotten everything out of my heart that the Holy Spirit had revealed to me, and I was hungry, and I just threw up my hands and I said, Lord, yes, I am kneeling in the presence of my Father, and I want all you have for me. Well, I don't know just exactly what happened. It seemed to me like that I just fell into the arms of Jesus. And it puzzled me a little bit because I realized I was in the arms of Jesus. It must have made a noise when my head hit the floor because the two Chinese gentlemen, they turned and looked. And they said I was lying on the floor, but I felt the fresh. Now, I fell into the arms of Jesus as soft and sweet as a feather bed. And he began, the first thing that happened was my mouth was open wide and all the wind seemed like in the whole earth just rushed down my throat. And I could, my mouth was so wide my jaws were aching. And then it seemed that he just took me like a dog would take a rabbit and shook me, and I felt like that I could feel it and really hear my tongue popping in the sides of my jaws. And it just shook me for a little while, and then I felt the impression that there's 1,000 magnets just pulling on every side. And I was saying, all gone, all gone, all gone. I realized what God was doing was crucifying old self and really nailing me to the cross. And when these two Chinese gentlemen heard me saying that, they didn't understand it. And they asked me. And I was vexed with them because I was so felt like in the presence of God. And then I spelled out to them what I was saying. And then there came over me such a peace that I'd never realized in my life. And then a joy that came from the bottom of my heart. I thought I'd die of laughter. I laughed and I laughed. And finally, that laughter stopped and I felt the unworthiness. I just felt like the earth had swallowed me up because I was such an unworthy creature. And I didn't deserve to do anything but hell. And here God had taken me into his arms. Jesus had taken me close to him and filled me with his spirit. And I felt that unworthy feeling for a few minutes. I don't know just exactly how long. And then there was a burden came over me. A burden especially for my wife, because 4 years before that, my wife's eyes had been healed when Miss Munson and a group of about 15 prayed for her eyes. The doctor said that she'd be blind in 3 months, but her eyes were healed and she didn't use glasses for 15 years. Well, we had been walking together and praying for the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and a burden for her and for my children and for other friends just came over me that I felt like I'd just die of that burden. And I prayed silently there, and the burden got heavy and heavy. And my heart, I wasn't praying with my lips making sound, but I could feel my heart just throbbing. And I realized for the first time in my life the real meaning of Romans 8, 26 and 27. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit who searches the deep things of God prays for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And I realized that the Holy Spirit had taken hold of my life and was praying. And I prayed there for a few minutes, and then I just felt so burdened that I was going to go upstairs and speak to my wife. And so I went upstairs and opened the bedroom door, and I said to a wife, "Darling, I want to tell you." And the devil had gotten into her, and she said, "I don't want to hear a word. I don't want to hear a thing that you say." Well, it's just like a sticking a dagger in my heart. Some way I got my clothes off and got my pajamas on and lay down on the bed beside her. And I lay there, and I wasn't saying a word, but my heart was just throbbing. I could feel from my heart all through my body just the throbbing of the Holy Spirit. Well, after 2 or 3 hours of it came time to get up, and she got up and got the children up and dressed them to go to church at a Sunday morning. And she said, "Are you going to get up?" And I said, "No, I'm going to rest." I couldn't get up. I really couldn't get up. I was just simply under the power of God's Spirit. And so she went on to church, took the children, and went to early morning church. And I prayed there, and sometimes I was almost afraid that my body couldn't stand it. And the throbbing, and I said, Lord, I'm all right if you want to take me, but I want to witness to you. And so I kept on holding on. And about 9:30, the church service was from 9 to 10 o'clock. About 9:30, the burden lifted, and I felt like I was just like a feather. I was so light and filled with joy and praise. And I jumped up and put on my clothes and ran downstairs and got my bicycle about 2 miles to the church. And I wanted to get there before the church service was over. And so when I got about 300 or 400 yards from the church, I saw that they were breaking up, the church, they're leaving. And my wife came walking with the children, walking up. And in China, you never embrace your wife. You never put your hands on them, never hug them. But she was smiling, and I knew that everything was all right. And as she smiled, and I could understand from her eyes, and she walked up close to me and whispered, said, I don't know what in the world. The devil got in me this morning, and I never had such an experience in my life. I didn't want to hear a thing that you said. I said, just now in the service, those other two preachers told about what happened to you and said, I just loved it. And said, now I want you to pray, forgive me. Says, I want you to pray for me. And I said, yes, sure, I'll forgive you and I'll pray for you. So that night, there's about three or four couples met in our house again. And we prayed for a couple of hours. And the whole group of 10 or 12 of us were filled with joy, just joy unspeakable and full of glory. And laughed and cried and praised God and just went on. Well, we were so happy, and we didn't know what God was fixing to do, but God was getting ready for a great revival.
Hi, I'm Andrew Cummins, host of Sunday Morning Praise on Missionary Radio, as well as La Voz de Esperanza. I also host a show called Ministry Spotlight. It's an interview format show that runs for about 15 to 20 minutes and airs each Wednesday morning at 8:30 a.m. So who do I interview, you ask? Local and regional ministries. You either phone in or come into our studio here at Missionary Radio in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. It's an opportunity for these ministries to get the word out to the public about who they are, their history, what they do, and how you, the listener, can support them or volunteer if the Lord leads you to do so. I have featured pregnancy centers, faith-based drug rehabilitation centers, closed closets, food pantries, thrift stores, mental health professionals, Bible drives, churches, and much more. If you're a ministry who would like to be featured on Ministry Spotlight, I encourage you to reach out to me directly via my email address, andrew@missionary.radio. If you want to call us directly to set up an interview, you can do so as well. Toll free, 877-885-9655.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Providence, we are very thankful for Missionary Radio family. We pray for Missionary Radio staff on a regular basis and the mission of the station. Thank you so very much for dependable and Christ-centered programs. From Madisonville, thank you, folks, the staff and volunteers. May God bless you. From Hopkinsville, thank you for your dedication to Christ. May He continue to bless Missionary Radio. And from Big Rock, thank you for a job well done.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Missionary Radio. And good morning to you here at 728. Mm-hmm. A beautiful morning. It's already 44 degrees on the way to 61 plus today. And it's just another gorgeous day to get out and enjoy. Or if you're like me, just kind of stare out the window and say, thank you, Lord, I've got a job. But sneak outside every once in a while.
Yeah, and just take a deep breath.
If you just joined us, you missed the first segment. I want to tell you, it's powerful. Brian and I were talking about or introduced Dr. R.L. Culpepper, a recording of his from many years ago in regards to the Shantung Revival that took place in North China Mission, and this was called the Shandong area now. And It went on for 10 years, and it started as a result of intensive praying and being emptied of self and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and not worried about what anyone would think, but just really a deep hunger for God. Now, one thing that there's so many things, and I have made some bullet points and things I want to say about that, and just to let you know as a listener to the Front Porch, I have personally and honestly have drifted a bit since 1984, have been praying for such a revival. Mm-hmm. I have seen outbreaks of different evangelistic movements and a couple of years ago at Asbury Seminary out in Kentucky and then across the college campuses across the United States, certain things have broken out. And then across the world, there are some things going on that we don't hear about. We get so embroiled in wokeism and politics and concerned about what people think and other what Jesus thinks that we miss out on so much. But if we're truly going to have a revival, it's going to start with this. It's going to start with prayer. All true movements of the Holy Spirit in the second Great Awakenings and any revival movements, any church planting movements, have all started with prayer. And it's not just a prayer, now I lay me down to sleep, and I pray, my Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, my Lord, my soul to take. That's a nice prayer.
Yeah.
But guess what? That's not going to get it done. Mm-hmm. Our God is good. God is great. Let us thank Him for His food. By His hands, we're all to fed. He gives to us our daily bread. Amen. Or just recitation of the Lord's Prayer. Yeah. Or just any recitation.
Yeah.
True Holy Spirit-led convicting prayer. Did you catch some of the things that Dr. Culpepper said? Let's do some takeaways, and I have some that I'm going to point out. What one takeaway that I got from it is how long that they prayed before things started to happen, and it was confession of all known sin in their life, giving away with secret sin, and not holding on to those things that would prohibit them from having a relationship with the Lord, but getting them right. Did you catch in his testimony where he said that, of course, I understand this, I can relate, that the Chinese felt like that in that mission that some of the North American missionaries thought they were better than they. And
I heard that.
And so when he came that morning and shared some things about himself that he was getting right with God, they had a confession surface, literally testimony, where people got right with the Lord. It was confession of sin. So that's one takeaway, and I'll give you an opportunity, Brian, anything that struck you that you heard.
I think one of the things that really stood out to me, they prayed up to 4 years for this revival. 4 years.
And sometimes 5 hours at a time.
And I'm sitting there going, wow, it's hard to even get people to even pray, period, nowadays.
I'm glad that some service churches have finally changed the name of their Wednesday gathering to midweek service.
Yeah,
because there isn't anything of a prayer meeting at all about it.
Mm-mm.
It's health and welfare prayers is what I call it.
Sure.
So-and-so's in the hospital and going to have surgeries. Those are wonderful. We should pray for each other. But what about to pray that we be emptied of self, confession of sin, repent, and be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that people that do not know Jesus, that we become witnesses for Him, getting rid of those things that would prohibit us from serving King Jesus, and supporting those that do so that the Word of God can go out. What is the main thing that we're here for? To glorify God, of course.
Glorify God, give Him praise.
But we're also, we have been given the mandate to carry the gospel to all nations. Now, that just doesn't mean you name off a geographical area. That means all people groups, all tongues, ethnicities.
Yes.
Everyone needs to hear about King Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things you mentioned that it struck me was the conviction of sin. He mentioned some verses, and I thought that I would share one of those before we go to Johnny this morning. In Psalm 32, Dr. Culpepper mentioned, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile." I'm going to read on. "When I kept silence, my bones became old through my roaring all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Ah. Well, let me just put it that way. Secret sin.
Secret.
He said, if you get the Holy Spirit, it's not secret before God. I mean, that's a misnomer.
Mm-hmm.
Here, God knows, He sees everything we say. But I believe in the wonderful grace, the matchless grace, the forgiving grace. It's not my righteousness, it's His. But there is obviously the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and no group has a monopoly on it, and it can demand that certain signs are to follow that to prove that you have. It comes through confession of sin. It comes from getting right with God. It's going back to where you started and saying, "Look, Lord, my bones hurt." That's what Dr. Culpepper said.
Yeah.
I mean, he said some of them get all concerned about that labels. He was talking about being slain in the spirit. No, he wasn't. In fact, he was talking anything but about that. Mm-hmm. He was talking about he was so overpowered by the power of the Holy Spirit that he couldn't get up from the bed that one morning when his wife went on to church.
Yep.
So my first takeaway, we'll get back after this, but is you gotta confess sin, and there's conviction of sin when true revival breaks out.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope with a lesson from Johnny about memories.
You've heard me share many times how God has used my diving accident so many years ago, how He used my quadriplegia to change me, to show me how sustaining His grace really is. He's used my accident to make me more like Jesus, and eventually He even used my broken neck to start a ministry that is now reaching people with disabilities around the world with the love of Jesus. Oh, there are so many wonderful things God did through my accident. And so the memory of that tragic day is no longer tragic. But it wasn't always that way. There was a time when memories of that fateful day I broke my neck, all it brought was sorrow, regret, grief. I'd hate talking to people about those early days in the hospital. Those memories only made me more depressed. Even early hospital visits from Christian friends, even those memories used to make me sad. That's the way it used to be. It was because, and here's the important part, I want you to really listen up here, it was because I looked at every memory through the lens of my despondency, and I refused to view my memories through the lens of God's Word. I mean, face it, we all have memories. Memories of painful times will always be gloomy if we remain pessimistic about those sad times. But when we remember difficult times through the optimism of God's Word, how it all fits together for His good, for our good and His glory, then we are assured that God works even that awful thing out for our benefit. We are assured that nothing touches us that has not first filtered through God's wise fingers. We are assured that even the worst of times in the past, somehow, some way, it all fits into God's greater plan for our life. This is the sort of biblical optimism which turns every gloomy memory into a bright awareness of the awesome, mysterious ways of God. God, who turns our suffering into victory if we would but let Him. You know, that's exactly what happened in Jeremiah. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 to 20, he says, quote, "I remember my affliction, and my soul is downcast." Okay, right there. You got Jeremiah allowing his emotions to take over. But then just a verse later, that same memory of all his afflictions, it gives Jeremiah life and comfort, for he says, "This I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope." Like a two-edged sword, the same memory first humbles him with one edge and then lifts him up out of despair with the other. You know, Charles Spurgeon once wrote that a person who tends toward despairing thoughts will remember every dark foreboding in the past and focus on every gloomy feature in the present. Thus, memory, clothed in sackcloth, becomes a cup of gall and wormwood. But this need not be. Wisdom can transform memory into an angel of comfort. Because the same memory which, in its left hand, brings gloomy omens, can be trained to bear in its right hand the wealth of hopeful signs. There is no need for God to create a new thing in order to restore our joy. If we would but rake the ashes of the past, we would find light in our present darkness. Oh, my goodness, friend listening, don't let your memories breed despondency. No, please let each of your memories be a reason for joyful hope as you view them through the lens of God's Word.
If you need help doing that, go to johnnyradio.org and let us know how we can pray for you. Let's turn our sad memories into something joyful.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Isaiah 59:2, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Ever notice how massive the self-help section is at your local bookstore? From weight loss programs to stress management workshops, we're constantly searching for ways to improve ourselves. Let's be honest. Who hasn't felt the pressure to pull yourself up by your bootstraps? You might have heard someone say, "God helps those who help themselves." It sounds good, doesn't it? Almost biblical. But here's the thing. It's not in the Bible. In fact, it's the opposite of what Scripture teaches. God saw our helplessness and stepped in. He sent Jesus to do what we never could do for ourselves. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Very good. Front porch. I like it.
Well, that's good. We're talking about the Shandong Revival, which took place in what's the Shandong region of the country of China is known as now. And it lasted, this particular revival, Shandong Revival, from 1927 to 1937. And this morning in the first segment, we heard a direct testimony from a old recording by Dr. C.L. Culpepper, a Southern Baptist missionary on the North China Mission, one of the participants in it, and we'll hear more from him on the next Front Porch next Thursday. And we're talking about this revival movement. Some say that is the biggest revival in the history of Baptists. I think it's one of the biggest revivals in the history of Christendom, and that you can see this, the move of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I have often drifted from a point that the Lord called me to do for some time. It's always ever before me. But I think my attention in what the Lord has called me to do personally deviates from that sometime. And I almost try to work out things that I'm supposed to do for myself. Let me explain what I mean by that. I believe the Lord is he has placed me in a strategic point and still there to call attention to the need of true Spirit-led prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with extraordinary agreement, explicit agreement, extraordinary prayer and visible union is what Wesley said, and that is exactly what we need in order to see a move of God. Mm-hmm. Well, let me just talk about some of the results of this revival. Number one, we started talking about it earlier, was a conviction of sin. There was a John Abernathy, Baptist missionary, wrote about this revival. He said this revival was no different than others in that conviction of sin was their initiating step God took to get his church right. And then that the church came under, number one, as I was saying earlier, deep conviction of sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it starts. Mm-hmm. We try to sweep things under the rug and don't deal with them. I've often said this to try to form a visual. Sometimes in churches, we'll sweep things so much under the carpet, there's a hump in the middle of the floor on the other side of the room.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to deal with them.
We really need to clear things out to let the Spirit move.
House cleaning, first of all, personally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Abernathy wrote that the missionaries were also among those who came under deep conviction of sin. Missionaries, until those sins were confessed and restitution, not just confession, but if there's restitution that needed to be made, that was done.
Mm-hmm.
There would be no relief from the conviction power of the Holy Spirit until that was done. It was the same for those who reconciliation was in order. If you have something that's a rift between you and another brother or sister in Christ or even in your family,
mm-hmm.
and you're just going to forget it and say, it's all right. Well, I found out personally, I've known this forever. You can't even go to the altar till you get things right with your brother.
True.
Or your sister, whatever.
True.
That means in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And in families, it's interesting to me that we'll talk about, and I have in my own family.
Yeah.
And some things that need to, about extended, really. Immediate family, thankfully, no. But extended, I'm sure that you, dear one, probably in your family have those things that happen. But in churches, some things we do these days, well, we don't like here, we'll just go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's
the Spirit's moving over here, and I'll just pack up my bags and go home. I don't like the way that preacher preached, or I don't like this or that. That is not going to take care of your relationship with the Lord individually.
Mm-mm.
You're going to be the same old self, and I am too, no matter what building I show up in.
That's it.
It's not uncommon for people to be in this revival, in the Shantung revival, the Chinese brothers and sisters as well as the missionaries. It was not uncommon for them to have been crying out in agony due to their sins right in the middle of a sermon, is what Dr. Culpepper was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So you mean I can't wait till the altar call? You mean it's not, if it's not in the church bulletin in this order, I can't get right with God?
Yeah.
Hey, I think we should have permission at any time. Realize that Vance Havner has said this, sometimes we start at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull.
Yeah, yeah.
We're so, I even ask myself, why, unless you're on the radio or on television, is there a clock in the church building?
That's true.
Please answer that one for me. Do you have an answer, Brian Marshall Sidebottom the First?
No, I know we don't have a clock in our church. So.
Well, bless you.
We don't have no
clock. I mean, I ask that question sincerely, not to be mean, but why?
Yeah.
If you're on the radio and you have to hit it for a mark for TV or you have another service coming up, well, yeah, I can get that.
Yeah.
But usually you have little timers there called a Smarter Than You watch or a little timer right there. But yet there's and it's usually right in line of the preacher so that he can see it.
Yeah. I know, Ken, of course, I do the announcing at our church. And a lot of times when I do my introduction in the morning, I will tell folks, listen, if you need the Lord anytime,
sure,
this altar's always open. They don't have to wait till the end. If you feel conviction or whatever you might need, come right now.
Amen.
Don't wait.
Amen. Amen. I learned a lesson many years ago. I've told this story so many times. I don't know if I have here or not. I've been straight on the front porch since 2003. So that's a lot of years. So
a lot of years.
I may have told this before. I don't know. But one thing that years ago I was doing I don't want to call it a revival meeting, but there were little aspects of revival. We're having an evangelistic meeting.
Okay.
And I was the evangelist, and not much was going on. And we had gone to Sunday lunch at a member's house, and I was very young. In fact, I hadn't gone to seminary yet. I think I was still in college.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you know how old I am, that's a long time ago. But anyway— there was a knock at the door.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anything about it because you're out in the country. People come to visit back in those days. And so the owner of the house got up to greet this person, and then it came to get me. I said, well, I don't know anybody here. And I said, who would want me? So anyway, in short, there was a fellow that was in the church service that day.
Yeah.
And he was under so much conviction of the Holy Spirit that he could not rest.
Mm.
On the front porch of that man's home and the family, I should better say, the family's home, he confessed his sin and got saved.
That's amazing.
He was miserable.
Mm.
Now, that taught me that I don't have to sing 10 verses of Just As I Am.
Yep.
And so I'm just going to sing one more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you feel led to do it, sing one more.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit is the one who takes care of all that.
That's right.
So I have, that taught me a lesson way back when. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to extend long and long and long and long and long.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe with my heart, the Spirit's on you, you're going to do something.
Yeah, the conviction's on you, you're going to come.
So the result of the Shantung Revival, we'll talk about this more, but my premise in all of this is that I'm getting back to the basics. Mm-hmm. And this is in my calling. I believe in missionary radio. One of the reasons we exist, we exist to evangelize the lost, edify the saint, educate the Bible student, and encourage the believer and exalt mm-hmm. the Savior. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that the early founders were on, and I want to just circle back to that and not away from it, not that we ever left,
sure,
is the need to use this, what the Lord has placed in our hands, to be an instrument for revival and
Amen.
Awakening.
Amen.
Well, let me just hit a couple of highlights before we had to ride off into the sunset and sing Happy Trails this morning. Here are some of the things that happened. Baptisms increased. And as a result, they might see 4 or 5 baptized,
yeah,
but they were baptizing 200 and 300 at a time.
Wow.
Spiritual dead churches were made alive again.
Mm.
Prayer became more earnest. Church attendance dramatically increased in just a few months, and those attending were diligent in their labors for the Lord. Did you hear that? Diligent. They didn't do it lukewarmly.
Mm.
National leaders were developed, and the Chinese church took ownership and moved forward with the finances for the oversight of the mission agencies. Now, Brian, you'll like this one because I know you. Sick were healed and devils cast out.
Amen. I like that.
Let me say that again. Demons are real.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I can tell you story after story after story.
Absolutely.
And my background is Southern Baptist, and I am still one.
Yeah. But it's real.
Let me tell you, it's real.
Yeah.
It's very real. Men, women, boys, and girls were preaching with results. Witnessing became spontaneous. Uneducated Chinese became more effective in evangelism than the missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
There is more, and I'll tell you what. Read about it, get online, research it, and you'll be prepared for your homework next week, and we'll hear more from Dr. C.L. Culpepper, and maybe we even have some testimonies of what the Lord is doing.
Amen.
Have a great day. May the good news be yours.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.